Lord, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Lord, may we hide it, treasure it in our heart, Lord, that we may not miss the mark. That last statement about the power of God directed toward men is actually what I was kind of thinking about today in my time with the Lord, and just reminded me of that fact. And this verse in Romans, I think Bishop's used it lately, is also one of my life verses. Romans 5:17, "For by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life." Really cool word, because when you think of grace, you know, it's not just, you know, I've heard so many different things of, you know, getting something we don't deserve, and that's kind of true, you know. But the grace of God is actually the very life of God, His very presence. You know, grace is a person. It's, you think of all the activity of Jesus being put in the Word would be grace. And one thing we can use for the word power is the grace of God directed toward us. And so to rule and reign in life is to be a person that is a great receiver of the ability and activity of God within our lives, right? But sometimes to get there, to understand the grace of God, and one thing I like at the end of chapter 5 there, is where it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. That grace always overrides and superabounds. It goes so much farther than sin. But if you look at that, not as just something I'm doing bad, but as just missing the word means to miss the mark. If I'm missing the mark, right? And usually that's in trying to do something from my own strength or my own ability. And all of a sudden, this great weakness is exposed, right? Because he says this, I'll read a couple of verses about grace we're familiar with, but just a reminder of just the goodness of God. This is in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency for everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Right? So there's, grace is always there, and it's an abundance of grace that I'll always be amply supplied in every single thing that I do by the grace of God. Right? Everything I do in this, or, you know, being a dad or a husband or anything, the grace of God is always there, and it's always sufficient for me to empower me to be what God has called me to be. So the grace is always there, right? It's just whether I am receiving that grace or not, right? And we say this all the time, you know, God is not looking for great achievers. He's looking for people who are great receivers. Because to receive His life is not something I achieve. It's something I constantly am receiving. Because the grace of God is always there. And this is familiar verses to us also. This is Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He was just talking about all these great revelations that God had given him, and but he also had a thorn in the flesh, this weakness, and he asked God 3 different times that this weakness be taken away, and the Lord answered him by saying this, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weaknesses. And so he said, "Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may he dwell in me." And he goes on that he's well content with weaknesses and insults and distresses, because for Christ's sake, when he is weak, is strong. And that word boast is just a word, it's kind of a word rooted in the word neck, because the idea is something that holds up, you know, boast to really means, comes from 2 words, means to hold up high, like your neck holds your head up high, right? And to boast means just to lift something up high. And what he's saying here is, I will boast about my weakness, exalt the weakness, be honest about it, bring it forth, because in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Right? And so we go from glory to glory with the Lord is just go in our lives from weakness to weakness. Because, again, it's only in weakness that I experience the power of God. And if I don't know that I'm really weak in an area, then God has this great ability to show me my weakness and our inadequacies, right? I've discovered that in my life as I go on to see more and more of my inability to do stuff. And that's where the battle comes in, because the enemy's there to condemn you for it and try to make you do better, or condemn you for not doing good enough, when all the Lord's trying to do is, in that weakness, expose how much you desperately need Him, how much He wants to extend His life and His power in that weakness. So you don't see a lot of people do that. You don't hear a lot of sermons with people talking about their weaknesses, do you? More of it's, I've heard more stuff about, not here, but, you know, about more pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and stuff, rather than, I love to hear a person, when they actually do that, just talk about how they met God in their weakness. And in their weakness, God, how He just overshadowed, the grace of God came into them, and they knew that it was the very power and the very life of God doing it. And he says this is in 2 Corinthians 13, just all kind of verses there. I love this one too. It says, "For indeed He was crucified because of weakness, yet He lived, Jesus lived, because of the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, yet we live with Him because of the power of God that is directed to us." That's how we live. We live in Christ, we're weak, meaning that apart from Him we can do nothing, but yet we live because we experience this awesome grace of God, which is the power directed to us. Right? And that goes from discovery to discovery in my life. To really say, "Lord, I really want to understand my union with Christ." Then all of a sudden you go through the season to where, gosh, man, there's nothing but mistakes being exposed. Or I just feel like I'm just continually making mistakes. But all that is an answer to my prayer. Because that's, "Lord, I want to know about Your union." And then all of a sudden He begins to reveal my weakness. Right? Not to condemn me. The Lord's only revealing that to show me that how much I need Him. And apart from Him, I really can do nothing. I love this word in He gives to Timothy. You know, 2 Timothy, of course, is the last letter Paul wrote. Not even knowing, one thing that's cool about these letters Paul wrote, he had no idea he was writing Scripture. You know, I just love that. He'd have probably been real nervous if the Holy Spirit said, "Paul, everything you're writing now will be Scripture one day." I would have just panicked in them. But he, Paul had a real revelation of this. But he tells Timothy in chapter 2, verse 1, and it's almost like an oxymoron. He kind of says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in grace." Like, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not, "Hey, Timothy, be strong," but be strong in the grace of God. That's where your strength comes from. Right? Stand and be strong in the grace. So grace is God's power. It's His ability, His activity. But more than anything, it is His power directed to me and you. Because if you ever feel inadequate about being whatever, you know, God's called you to be, or in your family, or you seem to be making one mistake after the next, the Lord is just trying to show you something. That, "Hey man, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect." So don't be ashamed of the weakness. Don't hide it. Lift it up. Expose it. Because in that weakness, gosh, that's where you encounter my presence and my strength. That's what He said. Not that He's going around bragging about all the stuff He does wrong, but he really wants, because he got that, you know, it connected with Him. Paul's thought, "Oh, it's connecting with me." That even whether it's life, you know, or here, particularly in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it was an actual demonic spirit that was attacking him. You know? All that demonic spirit did with Paul is expose Paul's weakness. And little did they know that the enemy was playing right into God's hand, which he always does. He was just setting Paul up so Paul could just encounter the grace of God in that area of his life. Whatever that weakness was and whatever that thing was doing, it just set Paul up to get, just as Bob Armstrong would say, dump truck by the grace of God. If you're just going through a time or a season or a day where you're just nothing being exposed much but your weakness, then good, right? Boast about that, lift it up. You know, thank Lord, gosh, because all you're trying to show me here is you want me to be confident in your power. You want me to learn how to receive the grace of God. And that's become almost a daily prayer for me. Or it has become a daily prayer. So many areas. My prayer to the Lord, He knows what I'm saying, is God, I just receive your grace. I receive your grace. And what I'm telling Him is, Lord, I receive your ability. I receive your power. I receive your activity in the midst of this weakness. And Lord, whatever I've got to do today to, you know, to teach class or to, you know, counsel or minister, do this, Bible study, then, Lord, I receive your grace, your ability, your power. Because that's where it's found. Amen?